BerkeyBerkey.com today.
Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. As you know by now, for the past year, it's been a year, do you believe it? Each and every show, we go inside the Beltway with the true insiders from Talk Radio News. It's always fun to be joined by Ellen Ratner, the grand dame of the place. Hey, Ellen, how are you?
Good.
Time flies, doesn't it? You know, that since I bumped into you in Mississippi, since I was part of your extravaganza, which was wonderful, it opened my eyes to a lot of things happening there, by the way. That Radio Row is when we then first started, you know, having these conversations on America Tonight. We get great feedback, so we appreciate it.
Thank you.
The president is in Australia, and he's got a litany of things, I guess, that he's going to do when he's in Australia. And is this right? It's the first time he's ever been there?
I think it is. He's going back to Indonesia, which had to get, I think, cut short last time. Of course, it's the place where he grew up for a couple of years. But he's going to go go to Indonesia because there was a volcano or some crazy eruption or something. So basically he's doing some state visits.
Yeah, so state visits. And you know what? I bet you don't know this, but the President's Cup is being played in Melbourne, Australia. And a lot of times our presidents have shown up to them. The very first one that they ever had was in 94, and Gerald Ford was there as kind of an honorary presidential thing. So I wonder if he'll pop his head in on that. Maybe. Who knows?
We'll see. We'll
photo
see.
Op.
I wouldn't be surprised. Well, we haven't been apprised of it yet, but don't be surprised.
Yeah, that's what I would say, too. Occupy Wall Street, what's the latest there from New York?
Well, the latest is that they're allowing them in the park, but not with tents and things like that. And they say they're looking for a new place. I never understood why they occupied something, unless they didn't realize at the time, that was private property. Now, I've understood that they really did want to actually occupy Wall Street. And so they chose a park near there.
Right. What is it? Zuccotti Park, right?
That's right. Which
yeah.
is privately owned.
Yeah. I didn't know that was privately owned either. Let's switch gears on that and go to the pipeline, because we've talked about this a ton on this show. And the latest thing that I heard was going on there is it was going to get pushed to 2013 for environmental studies. Now there's a change in the game, isn't there?
Why am I not surprised? Well, the change in the game is really, I mean, it still may get pushed, but the issue is what is going to really happen? They've had to move it because of environmental concerns. So it's still going to get pushed, but now it may get pushed into a different direction as well as pushed a few years later.
I like that, pushed a few years later. I think my money's on it's still going to get pushed down the road. How's that? Especially 2012, big presidential year, we know this, and with the clock
right.
ticking. So, you know, it's inevitable that would happen. This is not inevitable, though there's a lot of pressure for this to happen, and it goes back to Operation Fast and Furious. Now you have Congressman Alan West, who's calling for the president to ask Eric Holder, the attorney general, to resign, and there's a whole bunch of Republicans who want him to resign. You think that he's going to bow to that pressure? I don't think so.
I think they're barking up the wrong pressure tree.
I do, too. I don't think that'll happen. Don't think so. All right, this one I don't know much about. You know more than me, especially with the twist for the National Press Club. But what happened with the Saudi prince getting upset at the president for what's going on with the UN?
The Saudi prince was at the press club today, and he was also talking about the assault on the Saudi prince. But on the Saudi ambassador, Adel Al-Jubar, who happens to be also a friend of mine. I've never understood how he could do it. With the headgear and all that, it's just not his thing. But, you know, he's the ambassador. What can I say? But I think what essentially happened is that he got upset today at the press club. He said that, you know, the president says they want a two-state solution. And then when Palestine wants to be part of the United Nations, then they're not allowed. So thinks it's an insult to the Arabs.
Yeah, insults to the Arabs. Interesting. And, you know, we're talking about, we still go back, this is going back now for, well, longer than months, but when it really, the Pandora's box got opened up, it was, it's everything that's gone on with what's going to happen with whether it's going to be allowed or not with the Palestinians. What's your gut tell you on that? What's your gut tell you? I mean, you know Middle East. Forget all this other stuff about Washington. You know Middle East politics.
I know a lot about this. My cousin was the Mideast peace negotiator for 25 years, wrote a book called The Much Too Promised Land. And he worked with Dennis Ross, who's just resigning. Again, 25 years. He knew Arafat so well that Arafat sent his son a letter at his bar mitzvah. So, I mean, that's how well they knew each other.
Right.
And he wrote an article in Foreign Policy that basically said it's hopeless. And he also wrote an article in the Washington Post that the United States has to become an honest broker.
Yeah, I like that. Honest broker. There you go. Hopeless. And 25 years, I'd say, I'd be interested to read that book, Much Too Promised Land. Interesting. Ellen Ratner, you have an interesting family.
I do have an interesting family, and it's very large.
Yes, definitely. Ellen Ratner, Talk Radio News, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, coming up in this hour of ATN, we're going to lighten the load at the bottom of the hour. For goodness sake, what a rough 2 weeks this has been. So our pal Stephen Shohead, who always joins us from the left coast, a.k.a. Hollywood, will give us the skinny on a couple of different things. Film related. If we go way back in the time machine, this guy's the ultimate storyteller, without a doubt. Somebody asked me today, hey, when you're talking about where you should put your money, and we've looked at what's happened with stocks, and we see that world stocks are dipping as the Italian debt continues to be a worrisome thing because of what just happened in Greece. One thing that's now also gone up, we see what's happened with gold and some other commodities, but oil is actually almost $100 a barrel. Yes, while you were sleeping, did you realize that's $100 a barrel? Almost. It's probably going to get there. In morning trading, when I got up, I flipped it on and I saw that crude went up 73 cents. So it was at that tipping point, at one point during the day, 99 and change. And so here we go. We have consumer spending up for the fifth straight month, inflation a little bit off, and, you know, you look at gas and look at other goods, and then you compare this with also what's happened with the European Union, and here we go, away we are with oil and where we're at as far as a barrel's concerned. And you know what that means. Every time it starts to really get high, that's when you pull up at the pumps. This is why you care, America. When I'm talking about the buzz in your backyard, you feel the pinch. Even if it's an inch, you start to complain about it. And it's interesting how the mark keeps moving. Can you remember back when gas was $2 and people were gasping about that? Do you remember when it was $2.79? Oh, it can't get up to $3. Well, whenever it flirts with $4, then people start talking about taking public transportation, carpooling, and doing whatever they can because it affects your bottom line with everything else so sky high. If you're at the grocery store, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I see people frantically looking for coupons, people who never cut them out before. Odds and ends, what happened on the day, coming up on the flip side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Keystone XL Pipeline. Howdy, everybody. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across the airwaves tonight and all the nooks and crannies. The Keystone XL is the pipeline that would go all the way, as we were just talking about with Ellen Radner, all the way from Canada down through the belly of the beast, six states, into Texas. And the idea is refining the oil, be refined, it'd be cheaper. No question about it. We would have to rely on the Saudis. We get most of our oil anyway from Canada. People don't realize that. And I think the Canadians, what they'll do is if this thing is delayed too long to 2013 or longer, whatever it is, till after the presidential election, while the State Department finagles its way around all of the aspects of the pipeline, very easily Canada, as much as they are our big ally, could turn to China and take whatever offer it is they're going to put on the table. I mean, clearly, we can jump up and down and shout and say, oh, we can't rely on oil. Oil dependency, it's wrong. We can't do it. But how long have you heard that? How many decades have you heard that? How many decades have things not been developed? Now it's the ooh, wow factor when it comes to electric cars, but we're nowhere near any kind of mass transportation with electric cars. One, not affordable for tons of people. Two, not a lot of charging stations. And so the accessibility is a flat line. It's a flat line for a lot of people. That's clearly not the answer today, tomorrow, in the very near future. So we are an oil-dependent country. We have to look in the mirror and say we are dependent on oil. Nobody wanted to deal with the whole nuclear power thing after Three Mile Island, afraid of disaster. Nobody wanted that. Nobody wanted to deal with that. And then what do you do with the nuclear waste and all of the things surrounding what nuclear power would be as they have it mass produced in France? Electric car was killed off because anybody who was making a profit off of oil, really, they don't want to see that get along earlier you know, have this done 2 decades ago, and then we'd all be driving electric cars because that would be the normal thing. So we are oil dependent. I mean, you know, we can shuffle this deck any way we want to. We can have every president do a State of the Union address where at one point in that address they talk about the need for green, calling it different things, for other energy solutions, developing other capacities, all that kind of stuff. We need kids that are smart in science and math, yes. But it hasn't happened. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's not happening next year or the following year. We're going to continue to age and rely on oil. So here's this pipeline. Here's what we need. We need to drink from the pipeline. Bad choice of words. Environmentalists are going nuts over this. So the State Department on Tuesday denies that they are messing around with this, that the delay is designed to appease those environmentalists, which is a core group of the people who would vote for Barack Obama again. The State Department keeps saying it has no bearing on any kind of decision. It has no bearing on it whatsoever. They're not budging on this environmental review. It's not supposed to be done, not supposed to be completed until 2013. So that's a whole year before the environmental aspect of this is done. So think about it. Do you think they're playing politics here or just a coincidence? I think it's politics. It's politics. Not that a study shouldn't be done. Not that they shouldn't look at all aspects of where this pipeline is going. But this is an easy delay. How many jobs does this create? 20,000, give or take? 20,000? Now, it's convenient for Jack Girard of the American Petroleum Institute to say it, but it is the truth. There would be, with this energy production, there would be that many jobs in building this pipeline and getting it going and everything that that would entail. So it means cheaper for you and me, and it means jobs. And we are not free from the binds that we have on our hands when it comes to oil. And whose fault is that? Whose fault is it? So here's this Keystone XL. Here's a solution. Construction. I mean, is the construction of the pipeline, has it met the energy security goals? Supposedly it has. And you think of how much oil that would produce, jobs, oil, all of that. And clearly I know even people in my own world are cringing and would cringe to hear me say that. 1,700 miles, as somebody told me, I got into a disagreement with someone today. They said it's 1,700 miles of risk. That's what they called the pipeline. Risk. And I'd say, here's the deal. If you've had all these studies, if already with the pipeline, looking at the project, everything has to be approved. By the time all of this goes into play anyway, these jobs that we're talking about, even the residual jobs, whether it's overstated or not, it doesn't matter, or temporary construction jobs, you really can't attack construction jobs that are temporary because that's the shovel jobs that are being pushed in the President's Jobs Act. So here's the bottom line. Fair or foul, America, would you rather see this Keystone pipeline go through now? Or do you say, you know, forget it, it's an environmental hazard. It probably will be, and it's illogical to do that. And so even if a lot of people think the State Department is playing a political hand, too bad, because it's better that this takes longer to put in place. I think that what happens here is if you push it off to 2013 and we see constantly everyone starts to complain because gas prices are so high, how you get to work, you got to take a car. It's not all, you can't just take the train because there is no train where you live or whatever it is. And as long as we're not a green country, we're not. There are maybe some green elements of what we do, but we are not a green country. Look in the mirror, America. We are dependent on oil. And every president in the last decade, two decades, talks about oil dependency at some point, even if it's just a little tiny thread, because they're relying on the oil industry for donations to their campaign, which is the truth. But there is always a mention of that, and yet nothing really, really comes of it. Little tiny baby steps. So we have to get our oil from the Saudis and other places. I mean, really, we're getting a lot of the oil from Canada. If we were the refiners, if we could refine it, we would save so much money on that instead of having it refined somewhere else or come in, refine, dump it to the rest of us across the country. That's why in a lot of places, and then with the gasoline tax, you see how high it is when you pull up at the pumps. So you have to decide. If you can take a bicycle, if you can walk, if you can take public transportation, then bully for you. But as a whole, as a society, that is not the way it is right now. It's not Brazil. We don't have the sugar cane all around us where we have the choices of ethanol and gasoline. And which, by the way, I'm sorry about that, because wouldn't we all love to have that choice? Wouldn't you love to have that switch where you could do either or? Sure. Why not? If it was readily available. If we had the nuclear capability with the nuclear power, we'd be saving probably a ton of money in our own houses when we're talking about electricity. But it's not the case, and it's not going to happen anytime soon. If you have a solution to the problem, offer it up. The State Department, they're on the defense. What? We're not delaying it? When, in fact, they have to be delaying it, because they're part of the administration. It's to their benefit to see President Obama elected again. All right, coming up, we're going to have our conversation with Stephen Shohat and talk a little Hollywood with him. As I said before, he is one of the ultimate storytellers. And he's a guy who knows Hollywood, by the way, with the back of his hand, because of all the tours over the years that he has taken. He knows that he has taken people on. He knows the comings and goings, so to speak, of old Hollywood and some of new Hollywood as well. So stay with us.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's UTOPIA Silver, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Warning, this content is powerful and may cause others to reject your knowledge. If you want to know what happened to America, if you like cutting-edge information, if you need to convince someone that something different than what they believe is actually taking place, and to experience the true history of America you won't find anywhere else, get the new book, Satan's Show. Satan's Show is a hard-hitting look at what many know as the Antichrist and proof of a mind-control agenda. Learn how America was tricked into entering World War I and get over 9 hours of audio and over 700 reliable web links. Satan's Show is available in ebook and audio downloads. Click the special offer for $14.99 and you'll receive both, plus Operation Northwoods on audio free with purchase. Download today at satanshow.com. You will be shocked. You will be amazed. SatansShow.com.
As we age, we lose both strength and muscle mass. Undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows is nature's most powerful food to gain back lost muscle. Virtually all whey protein powders or drinks have been damaged during processing or are high in sugar. This damaged whey causes a significant loss in the ability of the body to build new muscle proteins. The high sugar content will stop all the benefits of your growth hormone from causing muscle repair. By giving your body easily absorbed, undamaged whey, free of added sugar, you may be able to gain back lost muscle and strength. One World Whey is truly undamaged whey protein powder free of added sugar. Both young and elderly are reporting increases in muscle strength and size without any additional exercise. Go to oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com. to read or hear some impressive testimonies to this effect. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Go ahead. Make my day.
One of my favorite lines of all time. People ran around and said that it seems like forever. You still hear it. And that, of course, is a very famous line from Dirty Harry. The Dirty Harry picture still, I think, holds up. If you're in your early 20s and you have not seen any of Clint Eastwood as Dirty Harry, boy, and you like that kind of genre, you need to go back and check it out. What a perfect way to start each and every week. He's in our virtual green room. Stephen Showhead joins us. He's the author of Hollywood Stories, short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. Stephen, there's a good reason why we played that clip of Make My Day. How old is Dirty Harry?
Yeah, 40 years old. And of course, Clint Eastwood is in the news. And it's hard to believe he was 41 at the time when he made that film. And other people turned it down. Frank Sinatra, there's a story. It's been disputed by some people that he had a hand injury at the time and couldn't hold a gun, although he was also at the time his father had died. And I think he kind of lost interest. John Wayne turned it down to his eternal regret. So Clint Eastwood got a hold of it and decided along with the director Don Siegel to change the story, move it from New York to San Francisco, where Clint was more familiar with it. And of course, at that time, and frighteningly, he's never been caught. The Zodiac Killer was in the news quite a bit, and in the movie, The Scorpio Killer is based on the Zodiac Killer, and it was a very, very chilling thing for people to watch that movie at that time.
Boy, John Wayne wanted it, and he turned it down. Or he didn't want it, he turned it down.
Yeah, he was busy with making westerns like Rio Lobo. And one of the things that happened with Dirty Harry was obviously Dirty Harry's a cop. He's not exactly a vigilante, but it sort of brought in the vigilante-type movies. And John Wayne tried his hand at them with movies like Brannigan and McHugh. I just tell a quick story. When John Wayne was promoting McHugh, He was invited to go to Harvard and do a question and answer with the students, and they were wanting to give him kind of a hard time, and he was like, oh, you know, I'm happy to go in that pseudo-intellectual swamp land. And so that he showed the movie, and they gave him some questions and answers, and he had no writers, but he was so funny. The students loved him. And then one of the students said, hey, where'd you get that phony toupee? And then John Wayne looks at him and says, son, this hair is real. It ain't mine, but it's real. Yeah, so he really did well, but McHugh did not do so well. Dirty Harry was a one of its kind movie, and it affected people so much. I mean, of course, there was another actor who had a big role in that movie, and that was Andy Robinson, who was a stage actor that that Clint Eastwood had seen and thought he would be perfect to play the Scorpio Killer. And off screen, the two of them got along great. They were very friendly, but of course on screen they have this life and death situation. And Andy Robinson, after the movie came out, got death threats, had to change his address, and also it was considered such a right-wing movie. I mean, originally it was called Dead Right before they changed the name to Dirty Harry. And Andy Robinson had difficulty finding work after that because there were a lot of Hollywood producers who didn't like the politics of the movie and were just mad at him and just wouldn't hire him. So he's gone on to, you know, to have a career and be in shows like Star Trek, Deep Space Nine, and has steadily worked. But of course, he didn't have the superstardom that Clint Eastwood had.
Yeah, no kidding. Do you think they knew at the, well, obviously, you see, you gave us a great story of the effect of that because it was considered so right and all that stuff. But did you think they knew the success of it right away, what they had this magic in a bottle with this?
I don't think so. I think, you know, everybody's a little bit surprised when something like that really, really hits. I think Don Siegel certainly had didn't have those politics. Clint Eastwood's politics, he's always called himself sort of a Eisenhower moderate. He did think, though, that it would hit a chord to a certain extent that, you know, they had recently passed the Miranda rights, that the police had to read you your rights before they arrested you. And so he thought to make a movie from sort of the victim's point of view, or at least about victims and what they might be feeling. Like I said, it might strike a chord, but he also sort of mocked people who read too much into the movie. I mean, Roger Ebert, Pauline Kael, the famous critic at the time, calling the movie fascist. And it's always been interesting. I mean, I still don't think any movie has ever been of such great impact to Clint Eastwood. And things happen, like people, have come up to him and asked them to sign their guns. And he's only done it for law enforcement officers because he's afraid if he signs the gun of a private citizen and somehow that gun is used and it has his name on it, he could have been, you know, considered to be a bad influence. He has people stop him and ask him to berate them, like he sort of berated suspects in the movie, and he would tell those people, you've seen too many movies, pal, but after a while he started berating them because he thought they deserved it, and he admitted he kind of enjoyed it. So it's definitely been a huge effect even all these years later. I think people remember that as signature role.
Yeah, I agree with you. There was just so many great lines in that movie, like we started off with. I remember T-shirts with the lines, make my day, all that kind of stuff.
I think that was later with one of the sequels, Sudden Impact. And then that's another thing, is they didn't expect any sequels because they had, I shouldn't give the ending away for people in their 20s, but they had an ending for the movie where they didn't expect any sequels, let's put it that way. It was kind of like Rocky, if you would have told Clint at the time there'd be four more times he'd be playing Harry Callahan, I think he would have been surprised at that point.
Yeah, Harry Callahan, I even liked the name, perfect. And you just think of him as Dirty Harry, so you don't even identify his real name, you know, Harry Callahan, but that was it in the movies, yeah.
Yeah, and of course, the other thing was that it did offend people of different races because some of the suspects were Let me put it this way. Clint was approached by a lady who told him after the movie, "How dare you kill all those minorities?" And he put his arm around her and said, "Wait, don't worry about it. I kill a lot of Anglos, too."
That was good, smart. He always has a comeback line, that's for sure. And you mentioned it.
Yeah.
He's in the news with the Leo movie, the J. Edgar movie about Hoover and his years, of course. But my question is, it didn't do so good at the box office. Do you think it's because people aren't interested in that and it just had a bad week and it might bounce back? Or what do you think?
Yeah, well, maybe, you know, December's more Oscar time movies than November, but also, you know, I was reading the interviews and there was one part where Clint said that and I don't know if this affects people, but he said that there was something that wasn't in the script about Hoover telling somebody else, this other man, that he loved him, and Clint had DiCaprio improvise it. And I know that there were people in the FBI who were very, very mad at the homosexual element being played up more than they would like. So whether that has anything to do with it or not, I don't know. But I think maybe, possibly, that rubs some people the wrong way.
Yeah. I want to get your take on this. The Oscars now being hosted by Billy Crystal. What do you think? Brilliant move or no?
I think it's a great move. I think Brett Ratner, once he made those remarks, I think Eddie Murphy, you think Raw, you think Delirious, at least I think some people do. And I think, whether it's fair or not, they got rid of the perceived raunchiness, sort of. I don't think Billy Crystal's perceived that way at all. And I think people are probably longing for him to come back. And since he's not working so much in the movies lately, maybe it'll be great and jumpstart his career. But like I always say about the Oscars, Kate, what they need to do is give people more information, more background about the movies, great stories to be told, about the movies that are made. They're always so interesting. Instead of sort of have it be this inside thing, I think we talked about this before. Like for example, when Christian Bale won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor, he gave a shout out to Dickie Ward, the man he played. The audience who hasn't seen the movie says, "What's going on? What is he talking about? Who is he talking to?" You know, and somebody could be explaining some of the background and tell what these movies are about and how they came up with the ideas. There's more information on a good DVD with audio commentaries than there is about the movies when you watch the Academy Awards. And that's my personal take on what they need to do to fix them.
Oh, I agree. Unless you're a huge movie buff and you see all the movies and you're in the know and you're reading up on all of that, you would be so lost when they hit half the categories. You'd have no idea what they're talking about. I agree.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And that's regardless of the host. With all that said, I think Billy Crystal's a great move.
I do, too. They needed to do something like that. Stephen Shohead, always fun to have you on each and every week. Author, once again, of Hollywood Stories, short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. It's a great read. Stephen, thanks. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, Kate.
All right, so you heard what Stephen said. I really think if you were listening to us and you are in your 20s, it'd be fun. It'd be fun to kick back and watch those old movies because you would laugh out loud. You get huge belly laughs out of it. And there were good twists in the plot. I think it still holds up. There was one night a couple of weeks ago that I was up, and one of the first Dirty Harry movie was on, and I don't remember seeing it, or I only saw part of it. And it really was a gem from the 70s vault. All right, we're going to spring ahead a little bit more on the Occupy movement and such.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products. Like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet.
or human growth hormone support, menopause specialist for women, and joint specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y HealthProducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. This holiday season, more than half of our nation is in need of help due to the shattered economy. So now is the time to express the holiday spirit more than ever. Consider helping those you love with the most important gift, a supply of delicious, easy-to-fix, and very storable foods from eFoodsDirect.com. Their holiday gift and family packs start at $99 for a 16-day supply. All their five-week supply of quick and easy-to-fix meals includes a personal backpack in case of a grab-and-go emergency. Order their combo gift pack, and you'll save hundreds, plus get free shipping on your entire order. Call eFoods today at 800-409-5633 or visit them online at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to find the special. That's 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at MainMilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MainMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits, magnesium fire-starting tools, strike anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches, first aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com. The main name in military supply.
If you like match play in golf, especially with the overriding theme of us against them, you understand why the President's Cup, featuring pro golfers from the U.S. versus the rest of the world, has become so popular. That's next with me, the Sports Princess on Sports Shorts.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Nesquik. Try Nesquik 4-packs, perfect for lunches and great for kids on the go. Look for it in the juice aisle. Snack time is a great chance to sneak extra calcium into your child's diet without making him feel like he's eating something he doesn't want. Serve up dairy-rich foods like smoothies, flavored milk, frozen yogurt, and string cheese. He'll love the treat, and you'll love knowing how good it is for him. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
17 years ago, the inaugural President's Cup was launched. It's similar to the Ryder Cup, which has been around since the 20s, in that it's held biannually. It features non-playing captains and its match play format. Biggest difference is the President's Cup has 6 extra matches. Scoring's easy, whether it's doubles or singles, all matches are worth a point. 17.5 points wins. The 4-day tournament alternates from courses in the U.S. and abroad. This time it's in Melbourne, Australia. There's always a lot of speculation about the picks. Fred Couples, the U.S. captain this time around, used his free pick to go with Tiger Woods for his 6th appearance, while the international skipper Greg Norman went with a lot of Australians. Both are being criticized. It just adds to the drama and will probably attract more TV viewers this weekend. I'm the Sports Princess with Sports Shorts. International fun. I mean, to me, I mentioned it there in the piece, the Ryder Cup is ultimately the better of the two, maybe because it has such rich history, and that's why I think that. The President's Cup is still in its infancy, just 17 years old. But the idea of pitting the U.S. against anybody, I think, makes it that much more interesting. It's the you against me, blah, 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 our team against your team kind of mentality. And they certainly seem to eat it up, and there have been some close, exciting finishes. Last time around, the USA won just by a couple of points. I mentioned Tiger Woods in that piece. Woods was the captain's pick. So Tiger actually is going to open the President's Cup. He's going to be the first one up as they have these matches. Some of them are singles, like I said. Some of them are doubles, and it's all about getting those points. The key is stacking up the points to ultimately get the victory. But here's one thing I didn't include, which is worth mentioning. For as much as golfers get slammed around by people who are not big fans about the crazy money that they make on tour, whether they end up winning some of the tournaments or not, they could still be a millionaire times three, times four, whatever. The money that they make off of this, all of it goes to charity. So the President's Cup has made millions for some great charities. I mean, they just dump everything into it. None of it goes to any of the players. So let's see what happens when Tiger Woods goes up against Australian Adam Scott. And Adam Scott, of course, now has Tiger Woods' caddy, Steve Williams. How about that? Woods dumped him this summer after 12 years and winning 13 major championships together. So there's all kinds of storylines going on, drama. It's like Lifetime for men. Do you love that, Matt Johnson? How about that? So Woods goes into this. Adam Scott's the first guy out, and the guy on his bag is Steve Williams. I think it's great. I think it's drama times 10. But the big thing is that, like the Ryder Cup, the captains lay out the order of play, and they don't know what the other side's going to do. The President's Cup, the captains alternate placing players on the board. So that kind of makes it intriguing, too. All right, this is really the biggest sort of sports story on the day, although it's not sports story now. It is become what everybody is talking about. It's a story that has captivated many of us here in America and other places. And the reason why is because of the queasy feeling we get over hearing Jerry Sandusky say that it was just horseplay in the shower, and jocks take showers. That's what they do. They take showers. I don't know any jocks that take showers with little boys. He's already been charged with 40 counts. There's more victims that are coming forward. But here's the big story. Mike McQueary, and including I asked this question a lot on America Tonight, how could anybody encounter the situation in the shower and not do anything? And as it turns out, McQueary, who is getting death threats and all kinds of stuff, has been emailing his friends and saying, you guys know me, I would never do that. And he apparently did what he witnessed in the shower. He did try to stop it. And he also, they're saying now that he also went to the police and somebody else at the university in charge of the police after this happened. So what was being leaked out and what was being talked about, that he didn't do anything and he went to Paterno and then it stopped there, boy, that really changes things, I think, for McQueary. And everybody wants to hear what he has to say. He was finally cornered by someone from CBS, and all he would say is, just this process has to play out. I don't have anything else to say. And he was also asked about how his emotional state is, and he just said, I'm all over the place, just kind of shaken. And, of course, he's shaken. This is a former Penn State quarterback, and the amount of criticism for not calling the police, like I said, guilty here, because we absolutely carried that ball. That's everything that we heard. That's what people even on the campus of Penn State were saying. But apparently he did interrupt the assault somehow. He did go to the police, and he certainly was an eyewitness to what happened. So this is some kind of a cover-up, let me tell you. Sandusky has been charged with molesting 8 boys in 15 years, and as I said, the number gets higher. I heard from somebody that I know who is very close to a lot of the people from State College. When I say a lot of the people, I'm going to say faculty members. And the number that's being spread around is closer to almost 50. Almost 50. So what, he took thousands of showers with kids because that's what jocks do? And I think that Penn State is really going to get hammered on some of the things that are probably going to drop in the next couple of months here. And as it gets closer to, because this is just the beginning of this, as it gets closer to a time for a trial, that will also change things. All right, I said I was going to mention the Occupy movement, and I wanted to do that because somebody sent me an email today talking about what was going on in New York City, and I checked it out, and they did do a raid, as they have in many of the Occupy spots and Wall Street, because it turns out, as you heard at the top of the hour, that Zuccotti Park is a private park. And they're saying that the New York City police took and destroyed over 5,000 books that were in the library. And to combat that, they set up a website called OccupyEducated.org, and it has what they're calling the five primers for this movement. And the five primers are Shock Doctrine, Naomi Klein, End of Growth, Richard Heimberg, Debt, the First 5,000 Years, In Defense of Food, Michael Pollan wrote that one, and Griftopia, Matt Taibbi, who you might have seen. I've seen him a bunch commentating all over the place. His book, too. So, in the meantime, I've had plenty of conversations, and we've had people on the show talking about what the Occupy movement is. And I say, you know, bravo for what the mayor in New York is doing. And as much as I never agree with anything, rarely, that Michael Bloomberg does, I think that they're smart to crack down on that because, I mean, come on, give me a break. It's a private park, number one, so who cares? Then go somewhere else and protest. But the bottom line is you check the backgrounds of a ton of the people, and they're the privileged. They're the 1%. They're the 1%ers, not the 99%ers at all. That's not where it lies with them, you know? So what do you think of the Occupy movement? I asked this question when it first started a couple of months ago. Some of you said, bravo, right on, stick it to the rich. And others said, listen, it's a bunch of people who are all over the map, who are in the way of the 99%ers who are trying to get work. And they're not doing much of anything other than sleeping out overnight, causing a lot of commotion, getting arrested and exaggerating some of the facts of what they're supposedly trying to accomplish. I'll let you be the judge. Send me your thoughts, AmericaTonight.net.
Hey, we got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rules all at the same time?